Welcome to Attitude Adjustment. We're here at EAA Air Venture 2018 on a gorgeous sunny day. And our guests are a couple of very interesting ladies. You are directors with the Air Race Classic. I bet people don't really understand what an air race is anymore. They think about Reno as air races. I have Gretchen John. I have Minetta Gardner. Minetta's with the Iowa chapter. Gretchen, your chapter's
Colorado. For the 99s.
That's exactly right, for the 99s. You guys do an air race every year somewhere in the U.S., and it is it's not like a Reno Pylon air race. Can you explain what an air race is?
Sure. This is a cross-country speed race. Each airplane is handicapped. And the Air Race Classic is a four-day race for women only. The route is different every year, generally between 2,200 and 2,600 miles, and we go interesting places. Minetta does a lot of the work with organizing the start of the race and the end of the race.
Right. So I do a lot of working, coordinating with the starts and termini to get them ready for the race. And also what I do, too, is I kind of collect information to identify new airports for our routes every year. So the route changes every year. And so I have a lot of fun putting routes together, actually.
So this is a long-distance race that has as much skill and ability to understand the winds and use them to your advantage and understand your airplane and how to fly it aggressively in terms of speed.
Absolutely. And in fact, if you are going to do well, it behooves you to spend some time with the airplane and with the other people that you're going to race with, really figuring out strategy, tactics, performance. Minimum two women crew. Sometimes people have three. We have college teams. We have professional pilot teams. We have people from all walks of life. I think the youngest racer we've had was 14, and the oldest was 93.
Wow. And I have to ask the question, why all women?
Why all women?
Well, why not all women?
I like that for an answer.
It began in 1929. The first race that was sponsored for women to show that women were equally competent in the airplane as men. And it has just been a tradition with the all-women's transatlantic air race, otherwise known as the Powder Puff Derby. And when that ended, the Air Race Classic began in 1977. We're a nonprofit.
And I think the other thing, too, for women is that, I mean, I fly about 150 hours a year, and a lot of times I don't see very many women flying. And I think the really awesome aspect of the race is for 2 weeks you're with a group of 125 women from all walks of life who are, some of them are new pilots, some of them have been piloting for tens of thousands of hours, and they all come together, and it's a great adventure.
Well, that's something that I have seen at EAA Air Venture grow every year, is this awareness that there are women in aviation who are pilots, mechanics, engineers, and that they like to come together every now and again so they can see each other and be seen. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important to the next generation.
Yeah, and I think for me it's half the racers, I know them, but the other half of the racers every year are a pool of racers. About half of them are new racers. They've never raced before. And some of them, actually our winners this year were rookie racers.
Wow.
And the co-pilot had, she had her 100 hours minimum PIC time that they require to race. But she flew with an instructor from Nashville Flight Training, and the other lady that was her student who had just gotten her private pilot license last fall.
That's exciting, because that shows me that there's growth and renewed energy. I like seeing that. And you had a great course this year. You went from Sweetwater, Texas, another women in aviation hotspot, because the WASP trained.
They were wonderful hosts.
Oh, they must have been wonderful in Sweetwater. And you went all the way to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
From the frying pan to the freezer.
There you go. Right.
But it was actually, the weather was great. I mean, the weather was great at both ends, temperature-wise.
Ah, terrific.
Yeah, the weather was not very cooperative in between.
In between.
Yeah, this was...
Lots of storms. Had to cancel some stops along the route. But
well, it's a VFR race,
right?
And that's very important. That's why somebody with 100 hours PIC could race it. Yeah, and you want to keep it that way. You want to keep it open and available. And these are not racers neck and neck, you know.
They can be in the flybys. You can have a dual flyby.
Okay. Just, all right.
That doesn't happen often, but it's exciting when it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Tell us a little bit about 2019, because you're already in the planning mode for 2019, and that's going to be 18th to the 21st of June. Looks like you have a fascinating little spiral course you're going to take.
Yeah, it starts in Jackson, Tennessee. They've been working on it for several years as our start. We loop around in the U.S., and then we go into Canada.
Oh, we're talking with Gretchen John and Minetta Gardner. They are directors with the Air Race Classic, and you're going international this year.
Yep, we got three stops. It's like we could have just a terminus there, but we decided when I was putting the route together, if you're going to go through all the paperwork to fly in Canada, then why not fly in Canada?
Is there that much paperwork?
There will be a checklist to follow through. I mean, you have to, basically, you're going to have to file for customs, crossing the border, of course. There'll be some radio licensing that will have to be done. And, you know, basically just checking paperwork to make sure your airplane's, you know, cleared to, fly in Canada.
Radio licensing being the FCC radio station license that a lot of us don't even have anymore.
Right. And we're going to put together the checklist posted on the website so people can actually see. There are certain requirements that people have talked about, do we need to do it, do we not? And we're getting a lot of great help from the folks in Canada who race, also people we know who through the 99s who fly there and are helping us resolve the questions that people have. And it's great.
How do you decide where the race is going to go every year?
So the basic, to put a route together, what I need is a start and a terminus. And once I have a start and a terminus, I can start connecting the dots.
So if some municipality wants to be a starter or a terminus, how do they do that? How do they express that to you?
They just kind of, well, we have the booth here at EAA, and we're also at the AOPA fly-in. So we have a book. I not only try to recruit racers, but I actually try to recruit airports as well as volunteers. So I'll have somebody come to me and say, hey, I've got this great airport. We'd love to be a stop.
And there's also a place on our website where you can, there's a specific page where you can put in the information about your airport if you want it to be on the route or be a start and a terminus, and we will definitely follow up.
When they get that honor, what's next? I mean, you guys don't just, come in and hole up for the night and roll out the door the next morning. I mean, there's a party that goes on.
There's a party at every stop. Some are longer than others. I mean, if the weather keeps you in Beatrice for two nights, then there's a party in Beatrice for two nights.
As it did this last time. But no, specifically for the start and the terminus, we are there at each location for multiple days for briefings, inspections, and we have welcome parties, we have banquets. Yes, there's a fair amount of organizing it, but starts and terminuses have discovered that they can use this as a way to raise funds, and it brings a lot of revenue to a community.
Yeah, I remember the start in Fort Myers, Florida, and how exciting it was to see everybody and the safety seminars that came along with it and pulling from the pilot community. But watching you guys line up, and I think there was almost 50 airplanes that year, and roll out of there was very exciting. It was a big deal. It was a big deal in the community.
We do a lot of preparation with the on-route stops, too. So we actually do a number of webinars with them ahead of time to get them prepared and organized, so they have to kind of get their volunteers in line, as well as volunteers for the racers, but also timers. So there's a lot of preparation for them, too. And it's not uncommon to have a few airports come by the booth here at EAA and say, hey, we'd like to be a stop again.
Yeah. So, where is your booth located?
We're in Hangar B, Row B, number 2122.
Okay, because that's information that people who are listening would like to have. Okay. And you go to more than just the show, don't you?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Do you have a booth at Sun and Fun or Arlington or any of those? AOPA?
Yeah, we do the AOPA, all four of the regional AOPA fly-ins, and WAI, we're down there for that.
Okay, terrific. Yep, right. And that means that if they're listening on the internet and they're wondering where they can catch you again, you can do that. Or you've also got the website, which is airraceclassic.org, right?
Yep, that's
that
right.
Is a really good place to find you guys. Now, your directors change, so even though we're talking with Gretchen and Minetta, doesn't mean that they can't talk to somebody else, right? A different year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, exactly. There's we serve a three-year term. Some of us will stay on another term. But there's kind of a changeover there. We have a number of assistant directors and then a whole army of volunteers beyond that. So
right.
If you're interested in, you know, helping out at stops or any aspect of the race, we're always looking for volunteers.
And once again, there's a place on the website where you can put in information where you'd like to volunteer, what you'd like to volunteer for, whether it's to help at a stop, to do timing of the racers as they, you know, fly by and get their time clocked each
handicapped
pilots. Each airplane is handicapped individually.
Oh, wonderful. So you're racing against yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very, very important. And I have to ask, this is a very last question. We're coming close to the end of our time, but does it really matter if there's bugs on the airplane?
Yes, I wash them off at every stop. Every little
bug. I see them compulsively cleaning their airplanes.
It's my co-pilot's job.
That's true. It is a co-pilot job.
I'm telling you, in the morning, they're the cleanest airplanes I've ever seen before they take off. It's really nice.
Yeah. It's interesting with my airplane. We really need a new paint job. And there are more flakes than there are paint on the airplane.
Oh, well.
And yet we're out there cleaning the bugs off.
Well, there you go. I can't even imagine how fast you're going to be when you finally chip in for that new paint job, Gretchen. That's great. We've been speaking with Gretchen John and Minetta Gardner of the Air Race Classic. We're here at EAA Radio. Can't thank you ladies enough for stopping by today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.